You pick and choose what commandments to follow. The test of a real Christian is this: when you know your will is against the will of God and you make a decision, Lord, this is what I want, but because you are my Lord, I will follow you. Today we will discuss the test of true salvation according to the Apostle John. Before I tell you what John has to say, will you please read this together? The Bible tells us, everybody, together, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Notice the grammar. The grammar is test. It's a command. And the command is continuously test yourselves. It does not say test others, yourselves. And then it repeats. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith, if you are a real Christian or not. Then it repeats. Everybody read. Examine yourselves. The word examine is slightly different from the word test. The word examine is to see if you are genuine, if you are real. Don't test your neighbor. You are not here to focus on the lives of others. You test yourselves. Examine yourself. Don't be critical of others. Examine yourself. Notice, what is the test? The test is, are you a real Christian? Who is a real Christian? Do you not recognize this about yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you. So the real definition of a Christian is Christ in you. When Christ is in you, the Bible says you have a new nature. A new nature implies transformation. A new nature implies a new desire. Once upon a time, I desired to commit sin. I don't care about others. Once Christ enters your life, something happens. I did not like to study the Bible. I fall asleep. But if you are a real Christian, you desire the Word of God. If you are a real Christian, you'll desire to worship Him. Nobody has to force you because something has happened inside. The problem today, most of us have religion. That's why you feel forced to worship every Sunday. The true Christians will not be forced. He will want to worship God because he loves the Lord. Therefore, what did the Apostle John have to say about a true Christian? Let's find out. Together now. 1 John chapter 1. Together. What was from the beginning, what we have heard from the ears, what we have seen, that's with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. John is now talking about personal experience with Jesus Christ. I've seen it, I've heard it, I've touched him. What we look at and touch with our hands concerning the word of life. Jesus is described as the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life. So John is writing from first-hand experience. And that's why the Bible is amazing. It's from first-hand account of people who know Jesus, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Continue reading. What we have seen, heard, we now proclaim to you, so that you too, the purpose is you have fellowship with us and fellowship with the Father. So God wants relationship with Him and with one another. You got to know this truth. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. So the purpose of writing 1 John is so that your joy will be complete if you know this truth. But that's not the only purpose. The next purpose so that you will know is this. These things, everybody please read. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may, louder,
know.
That word know is repeated 38 times in the book of 1 John. ginosko, the idea of intimacy. You see, you need to know the truth. You need to know to be sure you have eternal life. So these are written. So John gave us three important tests about how to be sure you are a Christian. Test number one, the test of true salvation, the test of right believing. You can be sincere and sincerely wrong. You can believe what you want to believe about Jesus, about the Bible, but if it is not the truth, you will be in deep trouble. Sincerity does not make something true. Are we clear?
Yes.
You got to know what to believe. So the test of right believing. And the only way you will know what to believe is to study the Bible. Number two, the test of righteous living. So right believing will impact right living, righteous living. You cannot say, I believe something, but your life contradicts what you believe. Number three, the test of real loving. Let's talk about right believing. In the time of the Apostle John, you had many false prophets, false pastors, counterfeit teachers, as early as 2,000 years ago. So John is writing now to protect us. So everybody read. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? You see, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, notice the grammar. Jesus as, look at the article. In the Greek language, once you have the definite article, the word Christ means Messiah, Savior, Christ, anointed one. Do you believe Jesus is the anointed Savior as prophesied in the Old Testament by God and sent to us? That is the meaning of, do you believe Jesus is the Messiah? Answer?
Yes.
Okay, check. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Do you notice today, people don't really believe. They believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. According to the Bible, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have God. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. So this is the test. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. What does it mean to believe properly? Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. How do you know if the spirit is from the demon or from something else? Here's the test. Everybody read. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come into the world. If this is true 2,000 years ago, do you think there are many false Bible teachers today? False prophets? So how do you protect yourself? Study the Word of God. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. In the time of the Apostle John, there were false teachers saying that Jesus Christ did not really become a man. The Bible wants you to know the Son of God 2,000 years ago took the form of a man. Jesus is 100% man 2,000 years ago. He did not give up his divinity. So what can you learn about Jesus? Jesus is God before 2,000 years ago, but 2,000 years ago, he became what? A man, so that he can die. Without becoming a man, he cannot die for our sins. Once you know that, you will now understand what it means to believe. Let's read the next one. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. So you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is divine. At the same time, he is human. And then, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, is born of God. So today, there are many people who are pretending to be Christ. The word Christ simply means Messiah. The Bible says, you better know who is the real Messiah. So what does it mean to believe? Is it intellectual belief? Is it believing that he existed, that he came? Well, the Bible says Satan believes. But Satan is not saved. So what does it mean to believe? Well, let's find out. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, Jesus, not just Savior, but also Lord, and believes in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You believe Jesus died on the cross and he rose again from the dead. So what do you believe about Jesus? Jesus is Lord. He became man. He died for our sins and he rose again from the dead. The Bible says if you believe, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Usually this is accomplished during baptism. When we baptize people, we ask them to confess publicly with your mouth. Do you confess Jesus is Lord? Do you confess him before men that he is your Lord and Savior? My friend, some of you, I praise God, many of you have been baptized. If you have not, I suggest you attend baptismal class. Baptism does not save you, but it is commanded so that you will understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, Jesus wanted to make sure we understand the meaning of the word believe. So let's find out. According to Jesus, together now, let's read. So you will know them by their fruits. So Jesus tells us, you will know whether you are a real Christian or not by their fruits. What does that mean? Continue reading. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, there are many people today who go to church. I believe in Jesus. In fact, the grammar says, you keep talking about Lord, Lord, Lord. You keep talking about it. But the shocking truth is this. Not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. Everybody read. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, coming to Jesus is not a passport. Everybody, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And that to me is what God will ask you. Think about it. Do you pick and choose what commandments to follow? The test of a real Christian is this: when you know your will is against the will of God and you make a decision, Lord, this is what I want, but because you are my Lord, I will follow you. Ask yourself, is there anything in your life right now that you are doing that God says, stop it? When you come to Jesus, you must have no mental reservation to give up everything and follow him. If you are saying, Lord, I will follow you, but don't touch my business, don't touch my whatever I'm doing now, that's counterfeit believing. Look, everybody read. Many will say to me on that day. That day is referring to the most important day of your life, Judgment Day. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name together? In your name, cast out demons. In your name, perform many miracles. You know what I'm reminded of? People can perform miracles and do a lot of things in the name of Jesus. You know who I thought of? Judas. Judas heard everything. Judas followed Jesus. Judas did many healing. But you know what Jesus tells us? Please read. Then I will declare to them, everybody, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, how can somebody say, I know Jesus, if you don't believe he is Lord? So my friends, I don't know your private life. I want you to examine yourself to see if you understand what it means to believe in Jesus. My friend, a true Christian, you must have right believing. You cannot believe that coming to Christ is a license for for you to sin. That is wrong theology. Look at the gospel in the time of Jesus. Jesus said, this is the true gospel. He said to them, it is written, Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. Jesus is now saying, the Messiah, he's now talking about himself, will suffer and die for our sins and rise again on the third day. That is good news. He died for our sins. Continue reading, everybody. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. In other words, repentance is something you need to understand. Believing in Jesus involves repentance. What do I mean? The word repentance, this is something you need to learn, is from the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia is composed of two Greek words. After, understand, change of mind. So repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of heart, to a change in behavior. Let me give you an example. Repentance. Once upon a time, Peter is walking this way. I'm walking away from God. It's myself. I'm the boss of my life. When I sin, doesn't bother me. Then boom, something happened. God touched my heart. He showed me I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I need to change. So I changed. I repented. My life changed direction. I began to follow Jesus. Not perfect, but the direction of my life has changed. That's the meaning of the word what? Repentance. You know, I like what Jay Packer said. Jay Packer said, repentance, as we know, is basically not moaning or remorse, but turning and change. That's repentance. Look at the early gospel preacher. Look at how they preach. Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice they go together. Trusting God, repentance, they go together. Which one comes first doesn't matter, but they go together. Look at Acts 26. Everybody, do you mind reading? Please read this with me. Together, ready, go. But kept declaring to those of Damascus, at Jerusalem, Judea, even to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. So my question to you is this. Have you repented of your sin? Only you know. Have you seen changes in your life? If there are no changes, don't despair. You come to God. Lord, examine my life. Do I really have you? You see, 1,000 years of remorse over a wrong act would not please God as much as a change of conduct and a reformed life. God wants us to believe Him. But to believe Him involves repentance because He's Lord. You may say, how do I repent? I have good news for you. Repentance is a gift. It's an act of grace. Look at what the Bible says. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. The Bible says you have to be gentle when you correct people. You know why? Because repentance can only come from God. It says here, perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, that they may come to their senses, escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive to do his will. Many people are enslaved to Satan and they don't know it. And that's why their life is in the wrong direction. The Bible tells us, everybody, be gentle. When you correct people, everybody, be gentle. You know why? Who grants repentance? Who? God. God is the one who touches my heart to change. That's why salvation is by grace. Don't be confused. Theologically, salvation is God's grace in your life. It is not your good works. And you don't maintain salvation because of good works. No, no, everything is by grace. But the grace that is real will empower you to repent. It will empower you to change. Are we clear?
Yes.
So, believe properly means what? You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and when you trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, Lord, Master. And it means the evidence is, all right, I will obey. Point number two, the test of righteous living. To believe properly, it will impact your life because you believe He is Lord. Now, before I go to the next point, I want to ask you really. If Jesus is your Lord, if He's your Master, how do you show that? You show that by obedience. This is the message we have heard from Him announced to you, that God is light. In Him there's no darkness. You know, the Bible tells us what God is like. But this verse tells us what God is. This verse tells me the nature of God. God is light. 1 John tells us three things about God. God is light, God is righteous, and God is love. So to know Him, your life will reflect who God is. So it says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you say you're following Jesus, but you walk in darkness, the Bible says you are a liar. Not me. So don't get me wrong. God. So a true Christian is a follower of Jesus. He is in fellowship with God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This verse is so crucial. If you say you are a follower of Jesus, look at me now, you have fellowship with God because of Jesus, you have fellowship with one another. Let me repeat. To have fellowship with one another, you got to have fellowship with God. If the vertical is right, the horizontal relationship will be right. Do you know why many people don't get along with the family? You know why there's always fighting? You got to fix up the vertical relationship first. You fix your relationship with God, and I guarantee you, your relationship with others will follow. But look at this verse. If we say we have no sin, let's read together. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. In other words, the Bible knows coming to Jesus does not mean perfection. So I am not teaching that when you are a real Christian, you will never sin. That is not what the Bible is saying. But the Bible is saying you are walking in the light. Your direction is right. And you have fellowship. Now, look at the next verse. God makes provision. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you notice? If we confess our sins, the word confess, what does it mean? The word confess literally is from the Greek word etzomo, homo logeo. Homo means to agree, same. Logeo, to say, to agree. Say the same thing. In other words, if Jesus tells you this is sin, you come to Him, you say, Lord Jesus, I admit, I agree with you, what I did is wrong. You never confess this way, Lord, if this is wrong, please forgive me. Sorry, you cannot say if. If you agree, if you confess, what is His promise? Look, He is faithful and righteous. You don't have to beg. He promised to forgive us and to cleanse us. Grammatically, the word forgive and cleanse is one act that has lasting effect. When you confess, he says, done, I forgive you. No need to repeat. What's the difference between relationship and fellowship? I have 5 children. They are my children. What's our relationship? Father and son. Father and daughter. However, our fellowship can be broken. How is fellowship broken? If my children disrespect me, if they don't obey me, are they still my children? Yes. But what happens to our fellowship? Broken. How do you restore it? Only one way. Confess. The same thing with God the Father. God is your Father. The day you surrender your life to Him, the day you trusted Him, the day you asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, He becomes your Father. But your fellowship is different from relationship. You got to walk in the light. A true follower of Jesus will want that fellowship restored all the time. Let's read the next verse. My little children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not sin. On the contrary, I'm telling you, when you confess, you are forgiven, but don't make this a license to sin. You see how amazing the Bible is? I want you to know, I'm writing this to you. Yes, there is forgiveness. Yes, when you confess, but I'm writing this to you so that you may not sin. However, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I want you to learn one important Greek word, advocate. The word advocate simply means our defense lawyer. He is saying, look, if you mess up, you confess. I'm telling you this, but don't keep messing up. But if you mess up, I have good news for you. Who is our lawyer? Who is our lawyer? Advocate means what? Lawyer. Do you know Jesus is your advocate? Now, let me ask you a question. If you are in court, you are charged with a crime, and your lawyer is Jesus, and the judge is Jesus, will you ever lose the case? Will you lose the case? Impossible. My friend, will you ever lose the case when Satan accuses you of your sin? Yes or no? Will you ever lose a case? Excuse me. Who is your lawyer?
Jesus.
You know why Jesus will surely win? Look at the next verse. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means he paid for it. Our lawyer and our judge is righteous. So what he did, he gave his own life to pay for your sin. Now, my friends, the word propitiation is a very beautiful word. He lasts more. That word simply means a payment that is satisfactorily accepted, a payment that is sufficient. The Bible tells us the payment for your sin is more than sufficient. It is propitiated. So who is our propitiator? Jesus. Who is our advocate? Jesus. Can you now live a righteous life? Of course, because Jesus died for our sins. He's our lawyer. How do you know you're a real Christian? Number one, what must you do? Right what? Right believing? Yes or no?
Yes.
A true salvation is right believing. Next, it is right living, righteous living. Righteous living involves what? Let's read this one. By this we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. You've got to keep His commandments. The one who says, I've come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar. In other words, the Bible says, by this we know we have come to know Him if you keep His commandments. So the evidence of true salvation is obedience. My friend, don't be a hypocrite. Everybody read. No one who abides in Jesus sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Explain to you. No one who abides in Him The word sins is in the present tense. If you are abiding in Jesus, you will not keep on sinning. You will not practice sin. That's the meaning. It does not say you will never sin. So don't get me wrong. Don't think once you commit sin, you lose your salvation. No, no, no. Salvation is guaranteed by Jesus. But what is the evidence? It's a lifestyle change of direction. You move toward God. It does not mean you will never fail. But your direction is what? Obedience. Little children, please read. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. So the evidence is righteous living. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. In other words, how do you know the children of the devil and the children of God? Very simple. The one who practices righteousness is children of God. The one who practices unrighteousness, children of the devil. Jesus is not just your Savior. He's not just the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. When you come to Jesus, you believe He's Lord. You're committed to follow Him. Righteous living means what? You don't take grace for granted. You allow Jesus to change your heart, to change your life. If you are a child of God, you will live righteously. Because if you don't live righteously, God will discipline you. How will God discipline us? Sickness, relationship problem, financial issue. God will discipline us. Have you been disciplined? I have so many times. That's why now I really want to follow Jesus. What about you? Do you want to follow Jesus? My friend, the fact that you lose your joy, you lose your happiness when you commit sin, is an evidence that you are a true Christian. Why do you struggle with sin? Because the Holy Spirit is telling you, anak, mali yan. Why do you struggle with sin? It's precisely because you have new life. Now, I'm worried if you don't struggle with sin, okay? Naku, ang sarap magkasalanan. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. How can you continue living in sin? How can you continue worshiping if you're a true Christian and live in sin? Impossible. Everybody read this. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. A life of repentance is the normal Christian life. Why? Repentance is not once and for all. For example, as I walk with the Lord, as I walk in the light, God opens my eyes. God tells me, you need to be more loving. Then I realize, you know what? I'm not that loving. I repent. I say, Lord, make me more loving. As I walk, as I grow with the Lord, remember, sanctification is progressive, okay? As you walk with the Lord, you become more and more like Christ. How many of you need daily repentance? Raise your hand. Now, all of you are raising your hands. A while ago, you did not raise your hands. You know why? Because you think you are already the Apostle Paul, okay? No, no, no. You are not perfect. You need to repent. I need to grow in my love for God. I need to grow in my love for people. Amen? So what is the last test? The test of real loving. Wow, what is real loving? Let us love one another. Love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. God is love. Notice my emphasis. Real love is from God. Number two, real love. Notice, is the evidence of knowing God. Love one another. Love is from God. Real love, not Hollywood love. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. What is the opposite of not loving? The opposite of not loving is what? Indifference. It breaks my heart when I see Christians cancel other Christians. You are indifferent. You are violating a simple command. Love one another. When I love you, I will not cancel you. Because God never canceled me. Love is from God. The one who does not love does not know God. So the evidence that I like you to take home today in your life is practice real love. We love because He first loved us. If somebody says, I love God, hates his brother, he is a liar. The one who does not love his brother whom he can see cannot love God whom he has not seen. God is saying, don't tell me you love me and then you hate each other. So my friend, will you make a commitment starting today to love each other as Christ loved us? How do you love each other? Unconditionally. It's a commitment. I want to love you. That means I want to do what is good for you, not what I like. You see, love is not giving in to your desire. Love is not saying, I will agree with you even though you are wrong. No, no. I love you so much, I will disagree with you. You see, real love is a commitment. It's sacrificial for your good. So my friend, if you don't have love, will you ask yourself, do I have Jesus or do I have not? Because you cannot give love if you have not experienced the love of God. You know, the Bible tells us, a new commandment I give you, you love one another. This is a commandment. We are to love one another. And then the Bible tells us, by this all men will know you are my disciples. The whole world will know if you love one another. I was just thinking, what if all CCFers, all of us, will not practice real love? What will happen? You know, look at me. If you love God and you love each other, you won't cheat them. You will not gossip. Think about it. If you love me and you see something wrong with me, you will come and tell me. If you love each other, singles, if you love a girl, you will not commit adultery with her. You will not have immoral relationship because you will treat her like your sister. You love her. You see, love is everything. If we love people, we'll be kind. If we love people, you want to do what's best for them. Amen? So the problem is, do we have real love? And real love can only come from Jesus, but not cancel each other. My friend, my challenge to you today, let us live like Christ. Be a true Christian. How do you know you have true salvation? Number one, check your belief. Right believing who Jesus is. Number two, right what? Righteous behavior, action. How's your life? It doesn't mean you are perfect, but your direction. Are you loving? Yes or no? Right? Shall we be loving today? I don't know about you. I need to keep growing. I need to keep loving. And you say, Peter, how do we do this? Very simple. You need the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The Bible says you have to be controlled by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, meaning I like to do what I like to do. I'm selfish by nature. But God says, surrender to the Holy Spirit. When you surrender to the Holy Spirit day by day, God gives you supernatural power. Everybody read. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Do you notice something? The Christian life is supernatural. It's the fruit of Christ in us. So my question to you today, do you have Christ in you? That's what we began with. Test yourself, examine yourself, if Christ is in you. If Christ is in you, praise God. There will be transformation. Not perfection, but progression. Amen? So, what is the best assurance of salvation? The best assurance of salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is this simple quotation. The progression of faith and not profession of faith gives us assurance of salvation. You want to be assured? Keep growing. Amen? My trust and faith is not in my goodness. It is not in my good works. It is in the finished work of Christ who died for me on the cross. But because Christ is my Savior, I let Him control my life. And that's how He changed me. Do you want Christ to change your life? Let's bow our heads. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you admitting I'm a sinner. I'm repenting of the way I run my life. I've been the boss of my own life. Today I surrender to you. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. I surrender the control of my life. Change my heart. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.